Varmt välkommen till podden Vardagstro. Det här är en podd från Korskyrkan Stockholm där vi pratar om hur tron blir synlig i vardagen. Här får vi lyssna till människors livsberättelser och samtala om vad tron betyder för oss. Häng på! Ja, hej och välkommen till ett nytt avsnitt av podden. Vi är tillbaka en ny vecka och idag har jag med mig ännu en spännande gäst. Vi kommer prata engelska idag, så jag kommer faktiskt byta över till engelska språket direkt här och säga welcome Ilya to the podcast.
Thank you.
Ilya Leiko, is that how I pronounce it?
It is right, yes.
Nice. And you're newly married, right?
Is, yes,
is Leiko your name or is it your wife's name?
It comes from my family name, yeah.
Cool.
We've been married for 2 years now and it's been a great journey, though.
Yeah. I think we're going to return to that as well later on. But first, let's start off with 5 quick questions just to get to know you a little bit. If you could choose to meet anyone, dead or alive, in person, who would that be? Except for Jesus, of course.
Right. I would probably say 2 people that I would really happy to meet would be first Craig Rochelle or Timothy Keller.
Oh. It's 2 pastors.
Both pastors, indeed. Yeah. Both had an amazing impact on my life in terms of faith and work ethics and any other place in life. But I must say, Timothy Keller is slightly over my head sometimes. So it's
it's very intellectual guy.
Very intellectual, very sound in theology. And
Both great pastors.
Both great pastors, both great leaders, and have a lot.
You read their books as well?
I read a few of the books, Timothy Keller. One of the books we actually read with my wife was The Meaning of Marriage, which answered a lot of our questions in terms of marriage and how to do marriage, mm-hmm. where to start, and how to have God in the center of it.
Mm, amazing. Next question. What company or business do you wish you had started?
Right. I think I would start something around diabetes type 1, specifically about management around diabetes type 1. Reason being is that I'm passionate about technology and I'm passionate about medical field. Yeah. And I did research around type 1 diabetes when I was doing my master studies. And I was working closely with a colleague who is type 1 diabetes from when she was born. I know from her firsthand of how difficult it is to manage diabetes type 1. And we spoke with her a lot about having a business or an app which would have an impact direct on her life. How to manage type 1 diabetes, how to get the information that you need, how to reach to healthcare specialists. So that would be something where I would dive deeper.
Wow. Let's see if it happens. Maybe. It sounds like something you could do.
Fingers crossed.
Okay. So what's the best compliment you could receive?
I would say the best compliment I would receive, if someone would come to me and say, hey, you did a great job. And what you did either helps or helped me in my daily life.
Hmm. And what's your favorite compliment to give to your wife now?
I think something that I try to say often to Jesse is that she's my best friend, and she's probably the best thing. Well, she's definitely the best thing that ever happened to me. Mm. In the words of King Solomon, he would probably say something like, "There's a many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all."
Yeah, a biblical compliment. So, last question: when you stand before God face to face, what do you wish for him to say to you?
There would be, you're a good and faithful servant, and what you did well with what I've given and trusted you. That would be something that I would be very happy to hear from God when we meet face to face.
So, Ilya, I would love to hear a little bit more about your childhood and your upbringing, because you're not born here in Sweden, right?
Yes, indeed.
Where are you born?
I was born in Latvia, Riga. Mm. and
Baltic
countries. And I came from Sweden to Sweden, a few years ago for education, for my master's degree first. Fun fact, when I was born in Latvia in 1995, my parents decided to name me a biblical name. So they chose Elijah as a biblical name. And I'm come from Russian family, Russian speaker family. And Elijah in Russian Bible is Ilya. And that's actually how they named me. But when they were doing that back in time, people would name their kids, and the nurse, they would write it down on a birth certificate. So the nurse actually misspelled my name. So and she wrote Ilya with Jane in between. So Ilja.
That's the name I have my phone exactly. saved as well.
And it's exactly how I currently introduce myself. My name is Ilya. And sometimes it causes confusion because originally it should have been Elijah, but they misspelled it. And my parents, they saw the birth certificate. They're like, that's going to be fine. It's not a problem.
It's a very unique name then, I guess.
It is unique indeed. Like a lot of friends that I have who have a similar name, they spelled with I in between, I-L-I-A. And I honestly, I even tried once when I moved to Denmark, I tried to introduce myself as Elijah to people around. And then it got so confusing because I had a friend close who knew me as Ilya.
Right.
And then
now you have two names.
Exactly. And then new friends would call me Elijah. And then my old friend, he would call me Ilya. And then it got so confusing because people were questioning of so what is your name? Is it Elijah or is it Ilya? How do we call you? At that point, I just went with Ilya as a main option.
And how was it growing up in what country was it? Latvia, right?
Yes. It was. I was born in a Christian family, and growing up there growing up in church was unique. It was a blessed time, and looking back at it, I can reflect that I was very blessed to be growing up in church, but it came with its own challenges, mainly because the decision to follow Jesus wasn't my own decision. It was somewhat, it wasn't enforced, but it was introduced into my life with my parents. Yeah. So going to church in Latvia, growing up with Christian friends, going to many Christian camps, it was very, I would say that my life was very dual, living two kind of lives, one being in church and following Jesus and being a good Christian, and then being at school with your friends and hanging out around and preferring different type of conversations, different type of activities and ways to spend your time. So growing up in that environment, I reached the time when I graduated from gymnasia, and at that time you probably say lukewarm. I wasn't really following Jesus, but I was still in church. I was still showing up in all the events and being in Sunday services every Sunday.
Mm. Yeah. I think many people can relate to that kind of feeling of having one foot on each side, if you can say so.
Mm.
Like one foot in church, one foot outside, and especially when you're born in a Christian family, it can be hard to have that life synchronized with your other life in school.
Absolutely. And I honestly, just to share a little secret with you, I was slightly jealous of sometimes of my friends who would come to church in teenage years, and they would have all these crazy stories of how they met Jesus and how they came to Christ in a teenage years when they decided themselves, okay, I want to follow Jesus.
Yep.
And a lot of those people had a very distinct testimony. They would share how they went through difficult times in their upbringing with their families, how family are unchristians, and there was with a story that is not very unique. Being grown up in church, being raised in church, doing things in a correct, right way. When people would ask you my testimony, there was not that much to share, or it wouldn't be a story that turns heads and people are amazed of how amazing it is.
Mm.
That made me a little bit jealous back in time when I was a teenager.
Did you search for miracles or concrete evidence to share, to have something to like put your faith against?
I wouldn't say that I was looking for miracles or specific evidence of things, but I was deeply passionate to meet Christ, to have the encounter with Lord.
Yeah.
I remember myself in my prayer room and how the longing for having to meet God, to having the Holy Spirit in your life, and how sometimes difficult it would be to wrestle with that question, like whether God is actually real, like do I actually hear answers for my prayers, or am I just praying year after year for something that I would never receive or would never get answers for?
Yeah.
So that was definitely something that I had to go through and kind of process and work through.
So what I'm hearing is that your doubts were mainly about your own like relationship to God, not so much about God's existence. Is that right?
Indeed, yeah. I would definitely say that I had doubts if God hears me, if God is there to hear and to answer my life questions, and there was difficult with that.
Yeah. And later on, you moved to Denmark first. Why did you move to Denmark, and how did your life change?
Right.
With that move.
When I finished gymnasia, I was deeply passionate for technology, and I wanted to pursue engineering path. I wanted to study more in technical world. And honestly, I first looked into Sweden, and I wanted to come to Sweden right away for my bachelor degree and then stay for further studies. But at the time, Sweden didn't have any bachelor degrees in English. So I ended up in Denmark doing my engineering degree in bachelor's in Denmark. And fortunately or unfortunately, it ended up being a very small, tiny city in the outskirts of Denmark, right next to Germany. There's a tiny little city where the campus was located for the university that I studied for. That was a very special time of my life. First off, was because I, being very passionate about technology, I was very focused on my studies. And I found something that I was longing for, and that would be to find a meaning in what I do. And it was I realized that it was a wrong sense of belonging or a wrong sense of this is the meaning that I, this is the things that I should do in my life. I spent enormous amount of time studying, and often me and my friends would stay a lot longer in university than we need to. I would stay overnight, we'd work on projects, and there would be like university projects, it would be home projects. I remember like building all sorts of gadgets and things around just to get my head down into the technical nerdy things.
Yeah. So you were all in for the engineering degree and the engineering like business. And I mean, it sounds like a good company to be in. Like people that are ambitious and want to put all in, doing the best they can with their work. But how did this affect your relationship with God and your faith?
Mm. What I noticed is that my main focus became work and becoming successful at what I do.
Right.
That quickly changed my interests for pursuing God and what God wants in my life, and I started more looking into what am I good at with engineering things. I found out that I have a passion for software, and I spend a lot of time doing software and writing different type of codes.
And that's what you're still working with, right?
That's still what I'm working on, exactly. Yep. That became mostly me pursuing my career and trying to find the meaning in what I do day to day. That drew me away from God in a very distinct matter. Being in that small city, I didn't find anyone who had passion for Christ and following Jesus in life. I found a little local church, but it was a very small Danish church. Unfortunately, I didn't understand anything in Danish, and there was no translation to English in the church. So I quickly faded away, and because of lack of partly because of lack of community, but mostly because of pursuit of my career and having my interest changed. I kind of walk away from my faith at the time.
It's so important to have that community, as you're saying. But now you're back to church. So I mean, some things happen in between. This was a few years ago now.
Yes, that was about 6-7 years ago now.
Yeah.
When I was in Denmark.
And you lived there for 1 year or 2 years?
No, I did 3 years of of a degree.
So it was the master's degree.
It was bachelor's degree in Denmark, and then I had a gap year, and in the gap year, actually, a friend of mine from university, his sister ended up in Rwanda. She was roasting coffee beans and having a specialty business with selling coffee beans. So he invited me. He's like, "Hey, come over. Let's go together to Rwanda. Let's help her set up a business to roast coffee beans and sell that specialty coffee to a local coffee shops and export." So I ended up in Rwanda, actually, for a year. I had a gap year in Rwanda. Looking back at it, I also realized that it was God's way to bring me closer, bring me in a place where I'm so isolated from the things that I was chasing for, that I'm desperately looking for God's presence. And that's exactly what happened in Rwanda. I had a lot of questions to God, because when I was finishing my bachelor's, I was very, very concerned, not concerned, I was very focused and going for master's degree. And when I was doing that, I wanted to go to Kote Hoa in Stockholm. And the degrees I was applying for in medical engineering, I gathered all my papers. I was finishing bachelor's and I applied for a degree, but I got rejected from university. I had a lot of questions like, how come? And reality being is that I didn't get rejected because of bad grades or I didn't pass certain courses, but because at the time I didn't have a finished bachelor degree in my hands. So the papers that I could hand in was the papers of preliminary finish. And they were not signed up by university to authenticate them. So I was rejected mostly because my papers were not authenticated, or they were not original. They were not signed by university to prove that they're valid, rather than actually the lack of some requirements. So in the meantime, I needed to do a gap year. That's how I ended up in Rwanda. And later on, I reapplied again for the same program and moved to Sweden. Yeah.
Right. It's funny how God leads us sometimes in unexpected ways. Like when you didn't get applied as you were hoping for, God had another plan for you in Rwanda. And
absolutely.
Would you tell us a little bit more about that? What happened in Rwanda, and how did God move in your life during that year, the gap year?
Absolutely, yeah. When I moved to Rwanda, I came here as a tourist there first. I was helping my friends to set up their coffee roasting business. And as I was being there, I spoke to some of the expat community people, and I met a gentleman from Germany. They started a company with providing electricity in a rural areas of Rwanda. And they invited me actually to work for them for a year that I was there as an engineer doing this a separate type of project with them. That's something I did for the year with them. I was employed in that small company, and the part of responsibility that I got was to lead the project to create what we called information access points. Long story short, or to simplify it, it was basically a multiple wireless hotspots, like a Wi-Fi spots, that people in the rural areas, they could connect over their phones, because people usually have a smartphone, which is maybe it was a cheaper or simpler smartphone, and they would be able to connect to those Wi-Fi hotspots. And then while connected, you could browse offline stored educational content, which would be either like language learning, or there would be science content. So people wouldn't eventually need to pay for anything. They would just be able to educate themselves in an offline manner. And that's what something that I worked for a year while being in Rwanda. My main goal was not actually to bring a value to people. In there, being straight from university, I was very, very eager to achieve something, and I was mostly working to make a name for myself, to achieve something, to have some sort of a recognition in that. Mm. And it was never to I want to glorify God with what I do. That this is the talents and education that He's given me. This is something that I'm passionate about because God has given me that, and it wasn't to glorify God in that. It was just right. to achieve something. To
it's very very interesting because I mean, such a work could easily be seen as something that glorifies God, right? But what you're talking about now is the heart issue, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where is your heart?
100%. And it was exactly that. It wasn't me trying to ask a question of how can I glorify God in this the most. It was more like how can I either make the most amount of money or how can I make a name for myself and get a status, get a recognition.
Yeah.
Which was a bad place to be. And while I was working basically in that year, I had a very special moment of encounter with God. My roommate, Canadian friend, he was on a way for a trip or something for the weekend. So I stayed alone in a house that we were renting. And I just put a worship, there was a worship going on and church back in Latvia, I think it was an online service. So I put the worship just to see what's happening there. Mm. And that moment was a very determining in my life because I honestly experienced the presence of God in a way that I haven't experienced for years and years. Mm. I was in a room alone and the worship was playing and I was just there having that one-on-one moment with God. That became that new start point of my life where I no longer wanted to just make money or just to make a name for myself or succeed in what I do, but I wanted to find what actually God is calling me to do.
Wow.
From a childhood, I never saw myself as a person who could talk nicely. I don't see myself being on a stage and sharing something in a nice, concise way. And I never saw myself as like an actor or a public figure or musician. But for some reason, God gives me these talents and He gives me those this passion for technology, like to develop things, to create things with a code, which I'm still in the process of figuring out exactly where God is calling me to.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a moment which changed that that understanding of like, why am I doing what I do?
Mm. And since that encounter, I guess, you've had a different relationship to the Holy Spirit. Is that what I hear?
Yes. That was rebirth of my faith, if I can say that. Mm-hmm. There was a time when I started picking up the Bible and reading through scripture, not because of trying to memorize a nice verses and be educated in that, but rather to actually live those, to find more about God's character, to find more who is God. Why did He do what He did with sending Jesus to us? Why did we get forgiven?
Mm.
Why am I here with the things that He entrusted me to do? Mm-hmm. So that became my that spiked a new interest of I want to know who God is, and my relationship with God got a lot more real from that moment.
Cool. How did your priorities change from that moment? In life,
I would say that Holy Spirit redefined in me what my focus is and what am I doing, what I do. As Pastor Rieger was actually sharing, I think last Sunday, he was talking about in the uncertainty of this world, in all the voices that we hear around. What is the voice that you're listening to? Like, what is the prophet that you're listening to? That really resonated with me because what I was listening to was the world's definition of success and riches and what is it to be successful in this or that area.
Yeah.
But it wasn't ever listening to God's voice and why did He call me for this mission? Why did He chosen me for this?
Yeah.
That definitely changed the priority of how I want to build the life that that I have, yeah.
It is our favor to be able to be led by the Spirit of God and to be able to hear His voice. And you were still on the same track in some sense. Like you were still applying for KTH, mm-hmm. and you arrived to Sweden the year after the mm-hmm. gap year in Rwanda. But how would you say that life in Sweden was different from the life you had lived mm-hmm. in Denmark, for example?
Right. Don't get me wrong. I'm still very passionate and ambitious about technology.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed that much, but mm-hmm. my priority changed, and the reason why I do that. So while being a year in Rwanda, then having that priority switch in life, I still wanted to do my education within medical engineering, and I applied for university in Sweden. Then I moved to Sweden, and actually the moment I moved to Sweden, I started Googling for English speaking church in mm. Stockholm. And the first time that I saw was there was church New Life Alvik, and that's where I first went. And then Jessica, my wife, she was actually translating from stage that day.
She wasn't your wife back then.
Back then she wasn't my wife, but
it's the clarification.
The moment I saw her, I'm like, okay, that's the one.
It's gonna be my wife.
It's gonna be my wife one day. Awesome. But that was the first time I saw her, and she saw me as well. And then that's where our friendship began.
Was it like in one moment your eyes met and you were like in love?
Exactly. Do you know the movie moments when like you walk in the building?
It sounds like a movie moment.
And there's like a Hollywood. Sound, like there's this music coming from out of nowhere, like very romantic. And then your eyes
angels
meet.
Angels singing.
but that was the time when I met Jessica first. And from the moment when I came to Sweden, my reasoning being different, while studying through university, while starting to work here in Sweden, my priorities were, rather than trying to uplift myself or trying to be successful in what I do for the reason of becoming more wealthy or making a name for me, I was more motivated of, I want to find what God calls me to. I don't know what is it, like, honestly saying, like, currently I graduate with an interest in medicine, and I currently work with HR and being engineering manager in HR area, and I do believe that at some point God will lead me towards medicine and medical area, but I don't know when is it going to happen. But I would patiently wait for that moment, and I'm excited to see where and how God would pivot to that.
So you met Jessica your first visit to this new church, the English-speaking church.
Exactly.
And how did your relationship take form?
That's a great question.
What does dating a Christian girl look like?
Our story might be special to an extent, the moment I saw her in church, we actually haven't started talking to one another until half a year after. I've been in I started going to that church, and she was part of that church. And then shortly after, like half a year after, we were both cleaning after Fika in church. And then we started chatting during that moment. That's how we started chatting, started talking. And only half a year after, it was basically a year after I met her, I first invited her for a date and to go out for indoor skydiving. We went for our first date in Bromo. There's like indoor skydiving.
Body yeah, I've flight. Seen it. Yeah, I've done it as well. Yeah,
it was our very first date, and it was a great time to just put ourselves in a very uncomfortable situation and flying in this wind turbine. but it was a lot of fun and a lot of excitement in that time.
Have you returned to that wind turbine and
no
done it?
We should have celebrated our first anniversary in
it sounds
in
like
the same wind turbine,
like a good date. But I mean, when you are, of course, this must have been a very beautiful girl and you were attracted to her, but what else then, you know, the physical appearance was important? What was important for you when you were dating Jessica and trying to examine what person she is, you know?
As a teenager, I think I heard a very interesting, it wasn't a guideline, but it was like advice from a family friend, and he was saying that look for someone who loves God, who is attractive to you physically, and who loves to work. And for me, it was like, wait, like, what does that mean?
loves to work.
Interesting
advice.
It was a very unusual characteristic for me. But later down, I learned that it's more person who loves God and Jesus, and a person who's not afraid to be diligent with something, because God is calling us for specific things, a specific mission. Mm-hmm. And in our part, we shouldn't be lazy with that calling. So getting our hands dirty and doing the job that God is calling us to do, I think that was important for me to see. And then, honestly, saying the first thing I saw when I met Jessica, she was on stage translating from Swedish to English and leading a service in the church.
You saw she was a leader also and passionate about the kingdom of God.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Amazing. And we're so happy to have you here as members in this church now as well.
Absolutely.
Since the fall, right?
Yes, from the fall. We became a members in November in Koshurken, and we came to Koshurken in August from summer.
So much fun.
It's been an amazing journey. We're very happy to be in Koshurken. Since we married, we got married a bit more than a year ago, Jessica.
Yeah.
We've been looking for a community that loves Jesus and have a very similar interest in life as we do, with having young adults ministry, having young adults, having people who are more senior, who can walk, we can walk with together, and learn from. Yeah.
Mm. So what else? What does church mean to you? Church, having a church community, as we talked about it a bit before, that you missed having that kind of community when you lived in Denmark and. Right, you found a church in Rwanda, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it became a priority in your life already then. Mm-hmm. But what would you say is so important about having a church community?
Absolutely, I would say that church is more than just a building. It's a family. It's people.
Yeah.
And for me, it's very important to find people that you can share your life with together. It's exactly what people are in church, people who are generally interested in what are you going through, like how are you doing, the struggles that you have in your life, like how are you overcoming them, how are you holding up, those sort of questions a lot of my unchristian friends would never ask, although I'm very blessed to have those people around me now who ever since we got married with Jessica, there's a few people who are asking this question directly: how are you doing, how is your marriage, how is this sphere of your life, how is that sphere of your life. It's a family. Like, those type of questions are usually parents asking their kids, and having that it's a big blessing to have people around who would be walking through you through life, and you can share your story to them. You can minister and serve to them. They serve you as well.
Right.
I think that community is very unique and very special. And to be honest, I have a few testimonies of friends around who see that as a very first thing, that being from non-Christian background, I'm talking from a friend perspective. Yeah. That's the first thing that he notices. He's like, I'm amazed how loving people are, how special people are when they meet you, when people greet you. The non-Christian friend of mine, he came with me to church a few times, and noticing that that people come over, they talk, they engage with you, they love you genuinely, they are genuinely interested in you. That's a very special that's a very special place to be,
right?
And then talking about the value of church, I strongly believe that in order to be happy in life and be stable of life, there are certain things that are rooting us or like connecting us. I heard an interesting image of a tent. If you think about a tent, and when you go camping, when you want to set up a tent, in order for that to be stable so the wind wouldn't blow it out, you would start taking like one pole and a string and attach on one end, another on the other corner, and then you would do that on all sides of a tent. And it's same with life. What I learned lately is me being anxious or being worried about things, the part of a solution to that is to find those things in life that are stable, that God is setting in your life. Like for me, community was one of those most important things, the church and community. It's like, it's grounding me. It's rooting me. And then another one was marriage. When we get married with Jessica, there was a one very stable and a big thing that got founded in my life. And then there's more and more things that you over life ground yourself with and root yourself.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And what are your hopes and dreams for the future now as a husband, as an engineer, as a Christian? Mm. You have mentioned some of this, but what more dreams do you carry with you?
Right. I'm navigating this new phase of life. What is it to be a husband now to Jessica? What is it to be an engineer? What is it to be a Christian engineer? So my dream is to find that calling, what God is calling me to. And I want to make an impact. I'm still ambitious. I'm still really genuine about like interest of technology and engineering. But no longer I want to make it for just to make an impact for myself and just be recognized for it. But I want to find where God is calling me, what to do to glorify his name. I don't want a recognition for it. I just want to find a place where God wants to use what he's giving me to glorify him.
So to the last question, the question that we're asking every guest on this podcast, what does everyday faith, vardagstro, what does it mean to you, Ilya?
For me, everyday faith means simplicity and trusting God wholeheartedly. The best image I can think of is like it's a parent holding a hand for his kids or children. In the same way, God is holding our hand and walking through us with us through everyday challenges. It's like a friendship with anyone else. Like if you want to build friendship with a person, you want to be honest, you want to be genuine, you want to be true. In the same way with the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our lives, you want to be honest, you want to be simple, you want to be just as you are. And walk your day-to-day things in that simplicity and trust in God.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Så tack för att ni har lyssnat på det här avsnittet. Hoppas ni hängde med i engelskan. Jag vet att jag inte är bäst på engelska. Men det var roligt att försöka det här. Och väldigt kul att ha Ilya här med på podden. Vi är tillbaka nästa vecka. Vi försöker släppa ett avsnitt varje vecka nu under våren. Så hoppas du prenumererar på podden. Den finns ju på Spotify och på alla andra sådana här iTunes och platser där man lyssnar på poddar. Gud välsigne dig och så hörs vi nästa vecka.
Du har lyssnat på en podcast ifrån Korskyrkan Stockholm. Om det här avsnittet har väckt frågor eller du önskar få kontakt med oss så hittar du våra uppgifter på korskyrkanstockholm.se. Där kan du också läsa mer om oss och om vår verksamhet. Du är alltid välkommen att besöka oss. Gud välsigne dig.